five, six, seven, 10. Senate Finance and Claims will come to order. Cy, would you take the roll, please?
Vice Chair Glenn.
Here.
Vice Chair Ellis. Senator Solomon.
Excused.
Senator McGilvery.
Here.
Senator Boldman.
Excused.
Senator Bartel.
Here.
Senator Mandeville.
Here.
Senator Morgeau.
Excused.
Senator Lenz.
Here.
Senator Lang.
Here.
Senator Lynch.
Excused.
Senator Bogner.
Excused.
Senator Cuff.
Here.
Senator Flowers.
Excused.
Senator Fuller.
Here.
Senator Vance.
Here.
Senator Pope.
Excused.
Senator Wellborn.
Here.
Chairman Esp.
Here. Thank you, Cy. Members of the audience, if you are here to testify on a bill, be sure to sign in the hall. We're going to do Senator O'Brien first. If she's ready, we'll open the hearing on Senate Bill 547.
Good morning, Mr. Chair, ladies and gentlemen of the committee. I bring to you Senate Bill 547. My name is Shannon O'Brien, O-B-R-I-E-N. There's an apostrophe and two capital letters in that name. I am from Senate District 46, which includes the northeastern corner of Missoula County, which goes from the city of Missoula all the way up to Seeley Lake and Condon. This bill, Senate Bill 547, is a bill that I greatly appreciate your consideration on. You have all sorts of busy things to consider right now. But I'll just start by saying, if you believe that children, the children of Montana, truly are our future citizens, our future workforce, and if you believe that school teachers are professionals, and if you also believe that it is tough, if not impossible, to earn a living, to feed a family, to pay off student loans, to put a roof over your head, earning $28,000, $29,000, $30,000 a year, which is what happens in many of our communities for first-year teachers, then you will do pass this bill so that it will be considered in on the Senate floor. I would encourage you strongly to vote to do pass. Essentially, this bill does two things, and I will focus on the fiscal note, on the fiscal impact. Essentially, this bill does two things. It is an opportunity to increase the quality educator payment for school districts so that they may increase salaries for teachers. The mechanism to do this is the funding formula is through a capital gains for people who make over $1 million a year or $2 million married filing jointly, they would pay the same rate of earned income taxpayers on that capital gains tax. So I'll leave it at that. Look forward to an interesting discussion and stand for questions. Thank you.
Thank you, Senator. Proponents of the bill, please.
Good morning, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. Amanda Curtis, C-U-R-T-I-S, the elected president of MFPE, representing roughly 10,000 of Montana's 12,000 public school teachers. I have not seen you all yet, I think, this session, and so if I could have a point of privilege, Mr. Chair, to thank you all for passing House Bill 13 out of this committee for the state employee pay plan that we negotiated with the governor. I just personally thank each and every one of you for that. Now we are here today considering a bill to try to solve our teacher shortage problem in Montana. It is true that Montana has one of the lowest starting teacher salaries in the country. It is also true that this legislature and this administration is looking to find creative ways to solve this problem. It is also true that our teacher candidates that graduate from Montana schools together make up almost enough, a large enough body to fill our teacher vacancies. However, we have a teacher shortage because those new candidates who are at the bottom of the pay scale are choosing to move to other states. They do not want to work in other states. We know that they want to work in Montana. In fact, we know that they want to work. Number one, they want to work near where they went to school. And number two, they want to work where they grew up. And unfortunately, they are having to choose to move to other states so that they can afford a home, so that they can afford a car, so they can pay off their student debts. MFPE supports this bill as a creative solution to make the number one change that is proven to end a teacher shortage, which is increased pay for the I don't want to say neediest, that's not the right word, but for the youngest, earliest, newest, lowest paid teachers. We appreciate your serious consideration of this creative solution to the teacher shortage problem, and thank you for your service to Montana.
Please support the bill. For the proponents.
Good morning, Mr. Chair. For the record, my name is Rob Watson. That's W-A-T-S-O-N, the Executive Director of the School Administrators of Montana. I also stand here today with the Coalition of Advocates for Montana's Public Schools. That organization is the Montana Association of School Business Officials, the Quality Education Coalition, the Rural Education Association, the School Boards Association, and the School Administrators of Montana. We rise in support of Senate Bill 547, as we believe that increasing educator salaries will have a direct impact on recruitment of teachers and retention of teachers. In the 21 legislative session, the TEACH Act was created to provide extra pay for teachers in their first few years for districts that qualified. Program has grown. In the initial year, there was 488 educators that benefited from the TEACH Act. This year, we estimate over 500 educators that are going to benefit from the TEACH Act. The TEACH Act was helpful to recruit new educators, but as I toured the state this fall and spoke to many districts that in our rural areas, the recruitment issue is only one issue. The other issue is retaining the staff that's currently there. 547, Senate Bill 547 will improve our TEACH Act and provide salary increases for many teachers in districts that qualify. We believe that this type of incentive will be helpful to retain teachers in the areas of our state where salaries have been historically low. We appreciate a careful consideration of Senate Bill 547, and on behalf of the Coalition of Advocates for Montana's Public Schools, we encourage a due pass. Thank you for your time.
Thank you. Further proponents of the bill? Further proponents? Seeing none, any opponents of the bill? Opponents of the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Bob Story, Montana Taxpayers Association, also been asked to register the Montana Chamber of Commerce's opposition to this bill also. We don't disagree with any of the things that the intention of the sponsor and trying to improve the pay of teachers and do some things to attract more teachers and retain them, especially in rural areas in Montana. When I first left college, I started teaching school in rural Montana, about as rural as you can get, Opine. And the reason we went there is because you could make a whole lot more money teaching school out there than you could in Billings or Great Falls or Missoula or anywhere else. The equalization lawsuits in the late 80s put an end to that. Once the funding had to be equalized, small rural schools could no longer have the budget to attract and retain teachers. And you can never retain teachers in rural Montana anyway, because most of them start there because they have need the experience, and they always, unless they get married into the community, tend to move anyway. I think most folks understand that. Our concern with this bill is the funding source. We've appeared before you before on similar bills that want to reduce the capital gains treatment for folks to fund other purposes. If this is a good purpose, which it is, the state should just fund it out of general fund money. You shouldn't pick out a very small group of people, those people who, for some reason or another, maybe one time only, have an income over $1 million, and now you're going to tax their capital gains at regular tax rates to fund this program. So, you know, I don't know how many people will be paying this tax, but it's a pretty small number. But if you look at your fiscal note, what they will be paying is around $50 million, growing to $60 million a year on this one group of people to fund a general state program, and that probably is not fair. I've spoken to this committee before about why we believe capital gains treatment is important. You know, people take a risk. They have a lot of things, and when they sell that asset and have a gain on it, public policy in a lot of states and in the country says that income is taxed at a lower rate than regular income. The thing about capital gains you should also recall or understand is that most of that capital is paid for with after-tax money. The money that you buy something with has been taxed once already. And so that's another reason I think that capital gains are. So we hope you don't move this bill forward, or if you do, you take the funding source out of it and fund it with general fund like it should be. For some reason on my computer there shows up there's an amendment to this bill that substantially changes it. I don't know if that's going to be talked about in here or not. This is actually the first hearing on this bill, I think, so this is really a policy discussion as much as a budget discussion. But anyway, we hope you do not pass this bill in its current form.
Further opponents? Further opponents? Seeing none, informational witnesses.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, my name is Paul Taylor, T-A-Y-L-O-R. I'm a budget analyst for the Office of Public Instruction and may be able to help with questions associated with the OPI portion of this bill. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Taylor. Further informational witnesses.
Chairman, members of the committee, for the record, my name is Aaron McNay, M-C-N-A-Y. I'm with the Department of Revenue, and I'd be more than happy to answer questions on the fiscal note with regards to the capital gains taxation portion.
Thank you, Ms. McNay. Any further informational witnesses?
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. Brian Olson, O-L-S-E-N. I'm also with the Department of Revenue, and I'd be happy to answer any questions on the administration of the bill. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Any further informational witnesses? Seeing none, Mr. Treem, would you just pass out the amendment too while we're asking questions here? Any questions from the committee? Senator Fuller.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'd like to have a question of Mr. Story.
Mr. Story.
Mr. Chairman, Mr. Story, macroeconomically speaking, would you elaborate on the effect on the economy of the state of Montana by increasing the capital gains tax? You know, elaborate on that a little bit.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I don't even pretend to be an economist, but generally speaking, you know, money that stays in someone's pocket to be turned over in the economy generally turns over more from the private sector than it does in the government sector. I think That is about all I can answer to that.
Further questions?
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Further questions? Senator Lynch.
Question for the sponsor.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Senator Lynch.
Mr. Chair, Senator O'Brien, I think we heard strong support for the bill, but we heard some opposition to the funding source. Can you talk to us a little bit about capital gains and why, I guess, same question?
Thank you, Senator Lynch. And we actually had this discussion on a separate bill, it's come up again, which is why I have submitted this amendment for your consideration. The amendment essentially eliminates that funding source and would ask you then to consider this, as Mr. Story pointed out, as an appropriation, as an opportunity for this to be funded through the general fund.
Further questions? Senator O'Brien, so you're proposing roughly $50 million a year ongoing commitment of general fund?
Mr. Chair, yes, sir.
Thank you. Further questions? Seeing none, Senator, would you care to close? Oh, Senator McGilvery, I'm sorry I missed you.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, for the sponsor.
Mr. Chair, Senator McGilvery.
How can you, in this title, get a bill that was addressing capital gains and now you're just talking about changing school funding laws?
Mr. Chair, Senator McGilvery, I'm not, I don't understand your question.
Oh, I'm sorry, Mr. Chair. You had a bill that was making a capital gains adjustment. And I'm sorry, I'm a little bit slow here, because I'm just reading it, but now you're changing it to an appropriation just to fund teacher salaries. Is that consistent with staying within the same previous title?
Mr. Chair, Senator McGilvery, there is a change to the title, as you can see in the beginning. The title is two parts, and so it takes out that part of the title.
Okay, thanks.
Mr. Chairman.
Yes.
I.
Who's up? Senator Cuff, I was
Mr. Chairman, to the sponsor.
Mr. Chairman, Senator Cuff.
And I'm looking at the amended, or I don't know if this is the amended bill, but it doesn't make sense to me, Mr. Chairman. So, number one, I question.
Senator Cuff, this is a condensed amendment, so it's only going to highlight the part that's changed from the original bill,
Yeah. Not
the whole bill.
Mr. Chair, if I may, Senator Cuff, essentially the amendment removes the first half of the bill and eliminates the revenue piece of it, the capital gains funding revenue.
Okay, and Mr. Chairman, to the sponsor, I guess I have trouble seeing how the amended bill fits the title we started out with, and I thought my understanding needs to meet it.
Yeah, members of the committee, I think we could look at that in executive action and perhaps get some input from our legal staff on that.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm done.
Further question? Senator Ellis?
From Ms. Curtis, please.
Ms. Curtis.
Mr. Chair, Senator Ellis.
Mr. Chair, Ms. Curtis, I'm not straight this morning yet. You heard Senator Fuller's question, and I was wondering, did you hear it?
I did.
And can you please comment and give your perspective on that?
Mr. Chair, Senator Ellis, thanks for the question. I think you all know, you're the money folks, that when money is going into the pockets of employees, of the workers, it gets churned in the local economy over and over and over again. And if you all choose to pick teachers over millionaires by passing this bill. You will be helping Montana's economy by helping teachers afford their house payment or their rent or their car payment or groceries or gas or any of the things that parents and community members have to pay for in their own community. Thank you, Senator Ellis.
Thank you.
Ms. Curtis, just to follow up, the bill as proposed to be amended has nothing to do with billionaires. It's talking about taking money from one set of hardworking taxpayers and giving it to another portion of our society.
Mr. Chair, was that a question?
If you'd care to comment, that's what the bill does as proposed to be amended.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
See no further questions. Would the sponsor care to close?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Members of the committee, I recognize this is a long shot. I couldn't not introduce this bill. I think that our public schools and our children and our teachers deserve better than what we're giving them. We had right around 420 vacancies throughout the state. Teacher vacancies, those are classrooms that are not assigned a qualified teacher, and that in and of itself is a problem. We have fewer people, students going into the teaching profession, and I'll just share with you a list of a handful of school districts: Davie, Grass Range. Davie, first year starting salary, $25,800. Grass Range, $27,464,000 a year. And, you know, if we are expecting these folks who, other than parenting, I think is the most important job in our state, we can't expect people to be going into this field trying to raise a family, trying to put a roof over their head, trying to do what they think might be best for Montana. So I urge a due consideration and a due pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Senator. This closes the hearing on Senate Bill 547. We'll now open the hearing on Senate Bill 510. This is the second hearing coming off the floor on this bill, so we'll be looking at the money. Senator Fitzpatrick.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Nice to be here. For the record, Steve Fitzpatrick, Senate District 10. So for your consideration is Senate Bill 510. You are correct. This one has come off the floor on second reading. This is the one that provides property tax incentives for alternative fuel production. This is the one that deals with renewable biodiesels and renewable sustainable aviation fuels. So if you look at the fiscal note, what it does is it shows about a $800,000 or so charge to the general fund. If you'll read the fiscal note, most of that is in the 95 mils, because this changes the taxable value for these types of properties to class 14 property. And then there's also a tax incentive later in the bill. So that's, as I understand it from looking at the fiscal note, that's why you're seeing the general fund numbers. And then there's also in Cascade County, I believe there is a VOTEC levy, and that's why you're seeing that state special revenue number. So with that, I'll sit down, Mr. Chair, and listen to the proponents and opponents.
Thank you, Senator. Proponents on the bill.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, for the record, my name is Dave Galt, and I am here representing Montana Renewables and Calumet Specialty Products Refinery out of Great Falls. Montana Renewables is a wholly owned subsidiary of Calumet Specialty Products. It's good to see all your smiling faces this morning. Come on here. So what this bill does is insert a definition into a longstanding policy since 2007 to promote the use of different kinds of energy sources. It puts a definition of renewable diesel, which is different than the definition that exists for biodiesel. And it also inserts a definition for sustainable airline fuel, which is things that we are producing in Great Falls at our facility. The fiscal note, I've read this fiscal note until the ink started to fade, or perhaps my eyes did, but I think the folks that put this together did a good job, and it's okay, and it explains what this bill does. I would tell you that the fiscal note exists only because this was not on our radar in a 21 session, or I'd have been in here trying to fulfill state policy in 21. That's all I got to say, Mr. Chairman and members of the committee. I'm here for questions.
Thank you, Mr. Galt. Further proponents?
Good morning, Mr. Chair and members of the committee. My name is Jasmine Krotkov, and that's spelled K-R-O-T-K-O-V, and I come to you this morning with the Montana Farmers Union. And Montana Farmers Union has my computer changed everything for me. So, Montana Farmers Union stands in firm support of Senate Bill 510. We know that this refinery in Great Falls is in the process of converting part of its capacity to renewable diesel, and that will require 2 million acres of oil seed for feedstock. Canola will be a great rotational crop for Montana farmers. Some 185,000 acres of spring canola is currently grown here, and MSU is currently doing some research into winter canola, which can be grown in Kansas and Point South right now, but with a little modifications, we could be growing canola year-round. Not year-round, but we could be growing, adding winter canola into our rotations. And Montana farmers will have a new tool in their toolbox to survive economically. In addition to being great for farmers, the EPA concluded that the life cycle greenhouse gas emissions from biodiesel made with canola oil are half of that of petroleum-based diesel. Canola can be used both as in food and as a feedstock for biofuels. So we have strongly advocated for increasing biofuels and now renewable diesel. And we worked with the FDA to get canola approved as a feedstock for renewable diesel. Montana refineries and producers should be encouraged to utilize and expand the market using Montana-grown canola instead of shipping in soybean oil from out of state. So we stand in strong support of Senate Bill 510 and hope that you will give it a due pass. And, Mr. Chair, I need to testify in another hearing, so I'm wondering if I could be excused.
Ms. Krotkoff, you can. If the bill happens to be on the fiscal note in the other hearing, you may want to stick to the fiscal note. You're excused. Further proponents of the bill? Further proponents? Any opponents? Any opponents? Informational witnesses?
Good morning, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. My name is Jared Isom, I-S-O-M. I'm an economist with the Department of Revenue. I put together the revenue estimates and the fiscal note here for questions.
Thank you, sir. Further informational witnesses.
Good morning, Chair, members of the committee. My name is Jill Gallagher. I work for G-A-L-L-A-G-H-E-R. I work for the Montana Department of Revenue as the industrial unit manager, and I can answer questions pertaining to the bill and help with the fiscal note.
Thank you. Further informational witnesses? Seeing none, questions from the committee. Senator McGillivray.
For Ms. Gallagher.
Ms. Gallagher.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. On the fiscal note, Ms. Gallagher, the first part says that 510 adds renewable diesel production facilities and sustainable aviation fuel production facilities to the list of facilities that are eligible for energy production and development property tax abatements. Just curious, can you tell me what some of the other facilities are that are on that list?
Sir, Chair Esp, Senator McGillivray, So this bill is for the renewable fuel. The only facility that I'm aware of that currently is under construction is the one in Great Falls.
Mr. Chair, follow-up.
Follow-up.
I get that. The fiscal note says that that 510 adds renewable diesel production facilities and sustainable aviation fuel production facilities to the list of facilities that are eligible.
Sure.
So what are some of those other facilities that are eligible in Montana?
Sure. Chair Esp, Senator. The other facilities that would be eligible, currently when I go through this, the only one that we currently have that is part of the clean and green is going to be Denbury. They have a carbon sequestration facility, and it ties into this as well. There were other facilities that were potentials, but they didn't end up moving forward. Class 14 does take into consideration, like, if you look at it, it has wind generation in there, the biomass generators, energy storage facilities that are tied to centrally assessed. So there's numerous processes and companies that would fall into that. But as far as the industrial unit goes, the only other one that we have would be Denbury.
Okay, thanks. That's what I was looking for.
Further questions? Senator Cuff.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I think a question for Mr. Gault.
Mr. Gault.
Mr. Gault, I think the first time I heard of these, and I got to admit, it got me kind of excited about it, was at a Penware big summit we had in Big Sky in 2021, I think. You came late in the game with this great idea, and I was a little hesitant, got you on board. You talked about this renewable, or what do we call it, the modern renewable diesel program, and using ag products, along existing Montana product in the... Okay, the fiscal note has some seemingly substantial numbers. Do you have any idea how they compare? If I remember right, you talked about in comparison with other types of renewable projects or green projects, such as windmills, solars, et cetera. Those industries have had other incentives to help them get going, perhaps. I don't know all the details. That's part of what this bill is asking for. Is that right? A boost to get it on off the ground.
Mr. Gull.
Mr. Chairman, Senator Cuff, yes. And it was a policy decision by the 2007 legislature that's been amended maybe once or twice in those years to stimulate renewable kinds of energy sources, and not just fuels, but electricity, coal. And when you talk about some of the projects that would qualify for that, and there's a whole page or two pages of eligible types of facilities in the bill, they could be extremely expensive. And I know at the time in 2007, there was a lot of discussion about clean coal and how we could make fuel out of that or electricity different. So there's been a lot of thought going into it. And I believe, and we believe, that this facility that we're having in Great Falls fits very nicely in the intent of that policy and existing law.
A follow-up, Mr. Chairman.
Follow-up.
Does this also provide additional income for some agricultural producers? What I'm talking about is the economic spin that by the... essentially, the boost for this plant to get in strong operation. Other taxes are being generated from the folks that you're buying the fuel from, as well as providing, I think this will provide a reliable, regular dependable, renewable form of energy that adds a drop or so into our product package.
Mr. Chairman, Senator Cuff, I believe you're correct, and I think as you drive around Montana, you can see facilities that may have started in the past and never got legs, right? They're abandoned now relative to adding value to agricultural products. We've been actively engaged with a variety of agricultural agribusiness teams across the United States to facilitate the development of a feedstock for that plant. And when you talk to agricultural producers today and they asked what kind of demand you have, and we tell them about 12,000 barrels of feedstock every day, and then we need to convert that to gallons, it's about 500,000 gallons of feedstock a day, I start to glaze. And currently the facility in Great Falls is producing renewable diesel. If it isn't producing sustainable airline fuel today, it will be in a couple weeks, and it's being produced with beef tallow imported from the Midwest.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. Senator Lang.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. For the economist from DOR, please.
Mr. Islam.
Mr. Chair, Senator Lang.
Mr. Chair, what was your name, sir?
Isom, Jared Isom.
Jared Isom, yeah. Okay. Mr. Isom, there's lots of numbers in here. I want to talk, we're kind of talking specifically about one facility right now, which is CalMet, but can you tell me today, is there a taxable value at the rate 3%? Is that the way I'm reading this? Is that right? What they're paying today?
Mr. Chair, Senator Lang, I believe so. Ms. Gallagher might have a better answer to that. I think so. Is that correct? Yeah.
Okay. So, can you explain to me, or maybe Ms. Gallagher may need to be referred to, but let's just go back 5 years ago. I'll go back 10 years ago. CalMet had a tax market rate of such. I remember when I was chairman of Energy, they did about, I think it was $450 million of improvements to that facility, hired 150 people at $85,000 a year, and now they've done another workover to create a new facility so they had to put money into that. So I'm trying to get at is, before they invested the money to do this renewable, what was the taxable value of their facility? And now that they are producing renewable, what is the taxable value of the facility today?
Mr. Chair, Senator Lang. So I'm not sure what the taxable value of that old facility was 5 or 10 years ago, but based on our appraisal data, the taxable value or the market value of the new facility you see in the assumption number 2 of the fiscal note is $544 million, and we estimate about $75 million of that is exempt pollution control equipment, so that leaves $466 million of market value as of now with all the new stuff that they built. That's the market value of the facility that would be eligible for this tax abatement.
Okay, so follow up, Mr. Chairman. So that was the question, I guess, that I was trying to get at, is the improvements they'd done before are not part of the tax abatement we're giving them today. It isn't on the whole facility. It's just on the facility, the retrofit they did to do this kind of energy production.
Mr. Chair, Senator Lang, that's correct.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Seeing no further questions, Senator, would you care to close on your bill?
Question, but I guess I ain't
got time to... I would, Mr. Chair. Thank you. Just a quick comment to answer Senator McGilvery's question. If you look in the bill, Section 4, that's where you have the abatement, the 50% abatement, and then it lists all the different types of facilities, biodiesel production facilities, biogas, coal gasification, ethanol production, geothermal. So there's a whole laundry list of bills. And then to obviously to Senator Cuff's questions as well, we think this is a tremendous opportunity for economic growth up in north central Montana, things like seed crushing facilities, and obviously the potential agriculture that could go into it as well. So with that, Mr. Chair, appreciate a due pass out of this committee. Thank you.
Thank you, Senator. This closes the hearing on Senate Bill 510. Senator Hertz, Senator Zolnikoff is going to, or Senator Mandeville is going to do Senator Zolnikoff's bill. So if you would like to start with your bill that is the first hearing on it today, we could do that.
All right. That works, Mr. Chair. I'm available, too, to assist Senator Mandeville, too. So we heard that bill in tax. But which bill would you like me to start with, Mr. Chair?
The one we're hearing for the first time.
And that number would be?
I think.
Looks like Senate Bill 553, the school
that
facility
would be
funding.
Yes, sir.
All right.
Let's open a hearing on Senate Bill 553.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee, Senator Greg Hertz, Senate District 6 out of Polson. This bill has to do with school financing laws and funding. And we do have someone here from OPI to get into the weeds if you'd like to. So what brought this to my attention was property tax relief and basically how some of the funding formulas and equalization formulas that we have and different programs that we have aren't getting fully funded. And they had been in years ago, but then for some reason we stopped funding them fully. And start dropping off. And of course, if we don't fund them at the state level, then what's that do? It raises property taxes at the local level. So one of the first issues here has to do with the debt service assistance fund. That has to do, you know, I think we need to be very responsive and pay attention to equalization and what we're doing. And what the debt service fund does, it basically helps lower taxable value districts. So that's generally a lot of that is more in our rural areas. And so that debt service fund was kind of created for an equalization, because we all know how hard it is to in our smaller communities to keep the maintenance up and our facilities up, what we need to do with them. In our small communities, we just don't have the tax base. So what this was designed for, it's formula driven, and as I said, OPI's here, they can kind of describe it if you want to get into the weeds, but I don't really think we need to. It just allows, once we fill this bucket up and it's not completely full, we've only been funding it, I believe, to the tune of about $2.5 million. It should be to fully fill it about $20 million a year. We have a lot of 95 mil money coming in, and it's going to continue to come in. I think this is we can use that money to help backfill this. But what this does is you might have a maintenance bond or facility bond in your local district, and what the state is doing to equalize this, since you might live in a smaller taxable value district, that then you can request this money, and it goes to your district. It helps pay that particular bond levy, and that in turn reduces the taxes on the local taxpayers. So just equalize things across the state, and it's very helpful. So and what else this bill does, if we don't fully fund it, it allows OPI to come in and ask for a supplemental. So there's a lot of moving parts here, Mr. Chair, but I'll sit down and We can have proponents and opponents, and I don't see Senator Solomon in the room, so he's probably more knowledgeable about this maybe than any of us, but not sure. Thank you.
Thank you, Senator Hertz. Are there proponents for Senate Bill 553?
Mr. Chair, Senators, for the record again, my name is Rob Watson. That's W-A-T-S-O-N. I rise in support of this bill on behalf of the Coalition of Advocates for Montana's Public Schools. We also wish to thank the bill sponsor for bringing this issue forward. This bill would have a positive impact by providing tax relief for our local taxpayers by eliminating the practice of prorating the debt service assistance in several different school funding accounts. As you likely know, schools have very few tools in the toolbox to raise funds. When we decide to do a construction project or do major maintenance on our buildings, we rely heavily on local taxpayers to foot that bill. So in a sense, this bill would provide that opportunity for us to tell our local taxpayers that the state is funding their fair share of the debt service. So we appreciate your careful consideration of this bill. We do think it would be a positive impact for local taxpayers and on their property taxes, and we encourage you to pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Watson. Further proponents? Further proponents? Any opponents? Opponents of the bill? Informational witnesses?
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, once again, Paul Taylor, T-A-Y-L-O-R. I'm a budget analyst for the Office of Public Instruction and may be able to help with questions associated with this fiscal note. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Taylor. Further informational witnesses? Seeing none, questions from the committee? I guess I have one for the sponsor.
Mr. Chair.
Senator Hertz, do you, you're changing things that were put in place in as a result of a lawsuit years ago. Do you think the small changes you're making here will upset the constitutional balance that we came to in that process?
Mr. Chair, no. I think actually what I'm doing is helping it. You know, we have not been doing our duty and fully funding this part of the equalization formula. So I think that's why it's so important that we need to do this. And we are over-collecting on the 95 mills, which should go back to our local communities and help them.
Thank you. Any further questions? Senator Glenn.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, for Mr. Taylor.
Mr. Taylor.
Mr. Chair, Senator Glenn.
Mr. Chairman, Mr. Taylor, how's this divvied? Does it go out to, is it based on how much debt they actually have? So one school that has more debt than another school is going to get more payment?
So the calculation, just in very high-level terms, is that a district actually has to have a general obligation bond at their district. That is the first step that is used to determine whether they would qualify. Then the next step is to take the average taxable value of the entire state of Montana, and it's multiplied up by 21%. And the same calculation is then done individually by district. Districts that actually land with a taxable wealth value less than the multiplied or inflated statewide average would qualify to receive a portion of this funding, is a very high-level version of the calculation. Mr. Chair.
Follow up, Mr. Chair. So, Mr. Taylor, if a school district that has not voted to have any general obligation bonds compared to a school district that has significantly put themselves out there is going to get a lot less. The one with none is going to get significantly less money than one that has bonded a lot of money to build a lot of schools or whatever those general obligation bonds are for.
Right. Mr. Chair, Taylor. Senator Glenn, the distribution of debt service assistance, or what we call debt service, GTB, it's not equally distributed to all districts across the state. It is specific to ones that have bond sales that are of a situation that they have a taxable wealth that is less than that of the entire state. So, right, there's four types of GTB in the state. This one particular formula only goes to districts that have general obligation bonds, and that is used to lower property taxes for the principal and interest that would be bared annually for that.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Further questions, Senator McGilvray?
Mr. Chairman, for the sponsor.
Senator Hertz.
Mr. Chair, Senator.
Senator Hertz, Mr. Chair, does this, in your mind, produce any bad incentives or perverse incentives for schools to just continue to issue more general obligation debt?
Mr. Chair, Senator, no, excellent question. No, I don't believe it does, because as Mr. Taylor pointed out, these are our districts that have smaller taxable values, and they have difficulty passing bonds anyway. I think a lot of those districts or school boards there are very concerned about their districts and what they do there. And so I don't see it. I wouldn't be bringing a bill if it was going to encourage that. But you can think of some of our very rural communities that are having a tough time. Just, you know, fixing a roof or other things like that. And it's unfortunate that where they live, that they just need some assistance. And that's what the 95 mils that we're collecting it for is to help out all of our schools.
Follow up.
I mean, this goes back to a previous bill we heard in here about a few minutes ago that, you know, I'm just wondering, some of these rural schools that are having struggles paying teacher salaries, fixing the roof. Do you think maybe it's time to, and maybe this is a little bit far afield, some of these rural schools to consolidate and just maybe the way we're doing things is just not smart out there?
Mr. Chair, Senator, and I think we've seen some of that across the state already, where some of these smaller school districts are consolidating. And I think we can do much better on that, that there should be a lot more consolidations, you know.
Further questions? Seeing none, Senator, would you care to close?
Thank you, and thank you for the good hearing. I don't think this is going to basically encourage people to issue bonds. I mean, you know, in some of our higher taxable value areas, they do that already, but these smaller struggling schools, they really need some assistance. And also, I think we need to fully fund this equalization issue. We're coming up on equalization review, I believe, in the next year or two. And, you know, it's a 10-year process, so you look and make sure that we're following that formula. And to me, I think this is a good help. So I would encourage a due pass on this bill. Thank you.
Thank you. Senator Hertz, we will now open the hearing on your Senate Bill 253.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman of the Committee. Senator Greg Hertz, Senate District 6, here again. Mr. Chair, the fiscal note, there are two of them, and the correct fiscal note that you should be looking at is the fiscal note number one as introduced. It's about, around $100,000 a year. And as a result, that's just making things easier for our small contractors, our local govs, because right now they got to withhold the contractor's gross receipt on a contract of $5,000 or more. This just moves it up to $80,000. It really helps. Less paperwork for the department, less paperwork for local govs, less paperwork for smaller government. So, all right. The fiscal note, you guys should have one. Do you not have one?
Senator Hertz, most of us, some of us have it and some of us don't, but I don't think we'll get that, though.
All right, and make sure it's the one as introduced. It's the $99,000 one, not the one that's like $4 million, which was the amendment. We amended it in committee with some false information, not false, but incorrect information, I should say, and then we drug it back into committee, stripped out the amendment, and put it back to its original format. Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Senator. Any proponents of the bill? Proponents of 253. Proponents, opponents of the bill. Opponents. Informational witnesses.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, Jared Isom, ISOM, economist with the Department of Revenue, who put together the fiscal note. Here for questions.
Thank you, Mr. Isom. Further informational witnesses.
Good morning, Chair, members of the committee. My name is Russ Christensen, C-H-R-I-S-T-E-N-S-O-N. I am a lead tax examiner with the Montana Department of Revenue in the miscellaneous tax unit. We administer the tax, and I am available for any questions. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Any further informational witnesses? Seeing none, I guess I have a question first for one of the people from Department of Revenue. Mr. Isom, do you agree that the fiscal note from February 6th as the bill was introduced is correct and accurate?
Mr. Chair, yes. They just changed it back to the original form. So,
thank you.
Yeah.
Further questions on the bill? Seeing none, Senator Hertz, would you care to close?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I think let's encourage you to pass this bill out, and we don't need to have contractors paying gross receipts tax on $5,000, $6,000, $7,000 projects. And you know, local gov's got to withhold it, then they got to send it to the Department of Revenue, and then as this works, the contractor can ask for a refund, and then they can get the refund. We just got a lot of checks moving around here, so let's try to kind of stop some of this administrative red tape.
Thank you, Senator Hertz. This closes the hearing on Senate Bill 253. Members of the committee, let's take out Senate Bill 506. Senator Hertz, would you care to open on your bill?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman of the committee. Senator Greg Hertz, Senate District 6 out of Polson again here. So this is the endowment tax credit. And, you know, what this bill does on a fiscal issue is double the credit from $10,000 up to $20,000 maximum per year per individual and takes the sunset off. You know, we've approved this thing every 6 years. I think last session it was 50 to nothing out of the House and out of the Senate, maybe 95 to 5 out of the House. So it's time to just remove it. It does a great benefit. But the fiscal note, I'm not sure I completely agree with it. You can see they're projecting, and the department does their best job, and you know, a lot of time it's just a guess. So basically they got 55 household who members, if you look on page 2 of the fiscal note, item number 6, you've got 55 households who claim the maximum $10,000 credit. So they're assuming that all 55 of those are going to claim the maximum $20,000 credit. So that's where you get your increase up to, you know, $570,000. And the big thing in 27, so this would actually sunset in fiscal year 26, the way the law is written. So then in 27, you've kind of got a new fiscal cliff. So they're determining in fiscal year 27, okay, it sunset it. Now I'm bringing the sunset back. So now all of a sudden, everything that's been paid, because in fiscal year 25 and 26, the credit was, you know, $4.2 million. So it's just coming back. It looks a little different, but, you know, that's how we do our fiscal notes. So I think it's a good idea. It helps a lot of our communities. And the other thing that I like about it, fiscally wise, it takes responsibility off of state government. And things that we may need to do out in local communities that these nonprofits are actually funding, and they fund it with volunteer help, and it's a lot of things. I mean, it could be domestic violence centers, a lot of issues like that, where if we were doing it at the state level, you know, we're going to be paying employees to go out there and help out, provide more money. But these nonprofits, It's driven voluntarily by a lot of their members, and it really helps out our community. So great bill, Mr. Chair. Cressa do pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Senator. Proponents of the bill, remember the bill sailed through the Senate on second reading, and we're here to talk about
the money.
Good
morning. Senator S., members of the committee. My name is Aiden Myrie, M-Y-H-R-E, and I represent the Montana the Montana Community Foundation. I've had the pleasure of working on this bill since 1997, and I'd like to make 3 points. The first is, this is a great opportunity to keep money in Montana. And you have heard, turn of the century, a lot of the money that was made in Montana through natural resources left the state. Well, once we put this bill in place in 1997, it actually was an incentive for money to stay in Montana and be invested in permanent endowments. As a sponsor referenced, those charitable endowments are actually solving a lot of the problems and responding to some of the critical issues, things like low affordable housing and mental health and things that are really important to our society to function. I'd also like to say that from a fiscal impact, as I said, I've followed this bill since 1997, and the Department of Revenue does a fantastic job of recording what the trends are in terms of charitable giving. But two things that are worth noting, when the economy is a little bit volatile and maybe goes into a downturn, questionable of where we're at today, charitable giving does go down. And so we think that the number is a little bit high. We're not expecting that type of charitable endowment giving over the next couple of years. And the second thing is, oftentimes taxpayers respond to what's happening in the tax environment, and if their tax liabilities are less, then sometimes they don't give as much either. So we think that the fiscal note is a little bit on the high end, but again, we encourage you to pass this bill for a lot of the first reasons I reference, and that is it's a really good bill to keep Montana strong and Montana charities doing the good work that they're doing to serve their mission. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Myrie. Further proponents, welcome.
Thank you. Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. For the record, my name is Amy Grimolis, G-R-M-O-L-J-E-Z, and I'm an attorney at Crowley Fleck. I represent the Montana Nonprofit Association, and I, too, have been working on this since 2001. Mr. Chairman, I'm going to just speak to the fiscal note. If you see, there's two versions. There's version one and version two, and I think the bill sponsor alluded to this, but I just wanted to highlight for the committee that the reason there's a difference between the two of them is that at the end of fiscal note one, it says that it doesn't, it's not subject to the tax credits of review by an interim committee. That was cleaned up in fiscal note two. I think that's a really important part of this, is that this tax credit, even though you're making it permanent in this bill and you're adjusting it for inflation since it has not been done so since it was created, it is going to be reviewed again by an interim committee. And so wanted to highlight that. The other point that I would note in terms of the operation of the fiscal note, we think we echo Ms. Myrie's comments that Department of Revenue does a really great job. If you look back through the trends, Mr. Chairman, members, you'll see that it's a very stable tax credit. Some of them that you review go up and down. This one has been very stable over the years. And the indications show, as Ms. Myrie commented on, that while we are philanthropic, we see that the trend is that people give cash in times of volatility versus planned giving in the way that this charitable endowment tax credit works. So with that, Mr. Chairman, ask for a due pass. Thank you.
Thank you. Further proponents. Welcome.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, my name is Matt Kuntz. I'm the executive, or I'm sorry, K-U-N. TZ. I'm the executive director of NAMI Montana, and when I joined NAMI in 2008, I was the first full-time employee, and we have built it up over the years, really small, really conservatively, and I've used the endowment as our safety net to decide whether or not we can hire new employees. We hired one new employee 5 years ago. She's been answering the phones for tough calls all around Montana ever since. We transitioned some of our volunteers to paid folks last August, and that was only because we knew that our endowment was there if we needed it. So I will say that this helps create new taxpayers. and new folks to serve our communities. And as for the idea that donors will magically transition from $10,000 to $20,000, I like the optimism. That's not the world that I live in, though. Thank you so much to the sponsor, and please give this a due pass.
Thank you, Mr. Kuntz. Further proponents? Further proponents? Opponents? Opponents of the bill? Informational witnesses?
Chairman, members of the committee, for the record, Aaron McNay, MCNAY, with the Department of Revenue. I'm happy to answer questions with regards to the fiscal note.
Thank you, Mr. McNay. Further informational witnesses?
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. Brian Olson, OLSEN, also with the Department of Revenue. I'm with the Business and Income Tax Division, and I'm available for any questions as they might relate to the administration and the fiscal note.
Thank you, Mr. Olson. Further informational witnesses? Seeing none, questions from the committee. Senator McGilvray.
For the sponsor.
Mr. Senator. Chair, Senator.
Senator Hurd, some of our earlier hearings have been kind of hard on millionaires. Just wondering if you'd like to see more of those millionaires in the state so they could pay these, make these kind of donations to take advantage of these credits.
Mr. Chair, Senator, I'm all for bringing more people with money to the state of Montana. Right now, the top 1% of taxpayers, which is about 6,000 of them, pay almost 30% of our income taxes. Top 10% pay almost 60%. Bring them here. The rest of us don't have to pay as much.
Further questions? Seeing none. Senator, care to close on your bill?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Great bill. Everybody likes it, other than a couple of folks. So let's keep this baby rolling. Thank you.
Close the hearing on Senate Bill 506.
Mr. Chair, I think Senator Mandeville has referred 507 back to me, and I'm fine to do it.
Mr. Chair, I think the only hiccup is we need written permission, so I was just going to turn it over to Senator Hurd anyway, since he knows it, so as long as he has that, I think we're good to go.
And Mr. Chair, I do have that written permission, if I can find it. Hopefully I didn't lose it.
I'll just get it to us after
I'll get
hearing.
It to you this afternoon, yeah. You want to do 507 now?
We'll open the hearing on Senate Bill 507.
All right, Senator Greg Hurd, Senate District 6 out of Polson, today bringing you Senator Zolnikoff's 507 bill. We heard it in Senate Tax. I'm very, very familiar with this bill. It has to do with some changes on the Montana Tax Appeal Board that Senator Zolnikoff served on for a while. We did amend it in committee. You look at the bill, the line crossed out for eliminating a property tax exemption for certain entities that use exempt property to produce unrelated business taxable income. That created the fiscal note when that language is in there. Senator Zolnikoff pulled that language out. So now the fiscal note should basically be zero. There shouldn't be any additional FTE needed at the department. At least that's what we were told too in the committee hearing. You may hear from an opponent here in regard to an amendment I placed on the floor about helping out delinquent property taxpayers. But to me, Mr. Chair, I believe that opponent probably falls outside of this fiscal note because that amendment doesn't have any fiscal impact on the state. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Senator. Are there any proponents to Senate Bill 507? Proponents? Seeing none, opponents?
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. My name is Rebecca Myers, M-E-Y-E-R-S, here on behalf of the Montana County Treasurers Association. We actually don't mind the bill at all, except for the last amendment that the sponsor mentioned related to delinquent payments. So if I may, I'll just try to explain the position of the county treasurers. Our recommendation would be to just remove that amendment, and then we would be supportive and mostly neutral on the bill. There is an AG opinion that was issued back in the late 80s. I know that that's a long, long, long time ago, but it is still relevant, and it did result in statutory change as it relates to how delinquent payments operated back then. I'm happy to get that to the committee, Mr. Chairman, if you'd like. So I'll email that out if that's okay.
Just tell us how the bill negatively impacts your operation.
Sure. So historically, what happened back in the 80s and 90s is that when this was allowed related to the delinquent payments, taxpayers just weren't paying. And that does actually impact bonding, particularly around schools and other things. The AG opinion essentially goes into that. There was legislation that came through as a result of that to change that eliminates this delinquent payment option. And in 2017, the statute was updated. So should this pass, there are concerns related to the fiscal impact, and how it would impact, the individual taxpayers. So currently, those who are delinquent already under the current statute, every 3 years they do become caught up because they have to pay the current year first prior to paying delinquent taxes. That's current statute. Depending on how many people utilize this, which I agree with the sponsor, I'm not sure how many folks would, but if folks do, and as they learn about it, and should interest rates become even higher and worse than they are in today's world, then what our fear is that the result of that is taxpayers would just be constantly in arrears, and there would never be any ending cycle. That would result in the need for penalties and interest to accrue all the time. And so there's a 2% interest or penalty that goes in addition to interest when you have that happen. And so currently, if you're paying those the delinquent taxes that you're allowed to pay on time, then you're not accruing those interest and penalties as a taxpayer. Should this go into effect, that would no longer be true. In addition to that, in 2021, the legislative session heard mostly in the House, so some of you may not have heard it, several bills. There were 16 bills that came through related to transparency and issues related to this. Those bills were tabled because we did some analysis on what the cost would be to the county treasurer's office should you have to start sending out those monthly and annual reminders all the time. And while I understand it's hard to explain how
you're
this paper
a little bit off the fiscal note, Ms. Myers, I'll just recognize that you don't like the bill, and if we want to ask you questions about it, we will.
Thank you.
Any informational witnesses? Seeing none, questions from the committee? Oh, informational.
Chair, ask members of the committee, good morning. Good to be here with you this morning. My name is Corey Hoffland, first name spelled K-O-R-Y, last name H-O-F-L-A-N-D. I'm the division administrator for the Property Assessment Division of the Department of Revenue, and be glad to try to answer any questions with the remaining $1,000 of tuition fees in the fiscal note. Thank you.
Thank you. Any further informational witnesses? Seeing none, questions from the committee? Senator Lynch.
Mr. Chair, I have a question for Ms. Myers.
Ms. Myers.
Mr. Chairman, Senator Lynch.
Mr. Chair, Ms. Myers, I guess what you said about how there would be perpetually delinquent property taxes if you don't make the last dollar, the first dollar paid off. I guess if the county treasurer's talked about anything about having like a half and half, or how do you split the baby delicately so that you can actually encourage people to get caught up and not keep that perpetual running balance?
Mr. Chairman, Senator Lynch, yes, there's actually a bill in play currently that has been worked on through the Revenue Interim Committee, several of your colleagues, and the Office of the Governor. That's passing its way through the House right now, that will address a seven-month payment option. And if that bill were to pass, then I think a lot of those delinquent payments would likely become moot. And if I may just add to the fiscal note, what I was about to say is there would be a significant impact to the state should you have to start issuing these notices and printing papers, printing mailers, and that was just the point I wanted to make. So thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. Further questions? I guess I have one for the substitute sponsor. Senator Hertz.
Mr. Chair.
So if this bill goes forward, will it have to be coordinated with the other bill if they both pass?
Mr. Chair, so that other bill has to do with, I think, seven or eight, you know, payments that you could negotiate with the county treasurer, which to me seems like a lot of more additional work than allowing you to make a payment on your first dollar of back taxes. So I'm sorry to have drug you down to through this rabbit hole of this issue. I would encourage us to move this forward. I'm more than happy to work with the clerks if they, and I'm just thinking if they want to narrow this down to only class four property, that might make sense so that we're not into the all other classes property where there's some big property tax payments.
Thank you. Any further questions? Seeing none, Senator, would you care to close?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And just a little bit more on that last topic. I think they're overreacting. I really doubt that a taxpayer, when you have to pay penalty and interest, you're not going to continue in three-year delinquent payments. It just, to me, it makes no sense to do that. But there's a few taxpayers out there that are struggling, and they just want to get caught up, and I think this is a good way. So I'd request a due pass, and like I said, I'll continue to work with the treasurers. Thank you.
Thank you. This closes the hearing on Senate Bill 507. Members of the committee, I think we're done.
We're done?
With bills.
Mr. Chair, I know exactly where that sponsor sheet is now. I'll go get it and get it back down here. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, sir. So we have a bunch of amendments for some of our bills. I think we'll hand them out now, and then we may recess after we get the amendments handed out. We may be able to do executive on a couple of these bills we just heard without objection.
Mr. Chairman, just so we prepare when we take a recess, are we focused on Senate bills generally in executive action or not doing any of the House bills? Can you at least give us that much information?
I think we're going to try our best to get through the Senate bills. And if we have a few stray House bills that are non-controversial, we'll do those too. But like we had, Senate Bill 506, the tax endowment bill. Katie, would you maybe pass out some of those amendments while we do this? Let's do executive on 506 if there's no objection. Yes.
Right now.
Mr. Chairman, I move due pass on Senate Bill 506. This was by Hertz. We just heard this morning, an act revising the tax credit for contributions to a qualified endowment. Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Vice Chair Glimm.
Alien.
The bill had good support on the floor. I have never voted for it yet in my career, but I've never won on this issue in my career either. So if somebody wants to call a question, I'm fine.
Question.
With the question's been called. Let's try a voice vote. All in favor of Senate Bill 506, say aye.
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 Opposed, no. No.
Senator Bogner votes aye by proxy.
Senator Boldman and Flowers vote aye by proxy.
And Wellborn.
Thank you. Motion carries 18-1. The bill will go back on third reading. Senate Bill 510, Senator Fitzpatrick's bill. Does anybody have objection to trying to do something with it now?
I'm good to move it.
Give me Go ahead,
Mr. Chairman. I move due pass on Senate Bill 510. This was by Fitzpatrick for provide property tax incentives for alternate fuel production, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. The bill we just heard, it's about the incentives for one more type of entity. Senator Bartel.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I just don't know if the rest of the committee knows. I toured that plant, what's really intriguing, not only would it increase our pulse crop areas and our grain, small grains in production, but it also uses the beef tallow, like they said, and also the animal fats. And when we have such a large industry of cattle and others, there's actually companies now that are looking to get back into the rendering business, which would be a great plus for the cattle industry, simply because all of the byproducts today are just being put into the dump. They're not being used, and we need to get back to using that, and that would really give a boost for the cattle industry. So a lot of the animal fats now, like I said, are coming out of the Midwest, but they're coming in by the carloads out of Canada too, and there's really no reason why we couldn't start up rendering plants again. So this is, to me, this is a really a good plus for building the industry up. Thank you.
Thank you, Senator.
I like the innovative approach, much of what he said, but this is really cutting-edge innovation that is also aimed at energy issues, and I think it was presented pretty well. When I first heard it a couple of years ago, it was like a pie-in-the-sky thing, and it's kind of cool to have been helped break it into the public and now see it is a reality and a good one.
Thank you, Senator Lang.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I, too, probably am going to support the bill. One point I was trying to make with Mr. Isom is that when a facility like this does a renovation, you know, like that 10 years ago, they did a $450 million renovation. Okay, that goes right onto the tax base through centrally assessed. And it's the renovation they're doing now, I'm assuming there was some increase in there also. And it just shocks me how we tax those big companies for when they, you know, they don't tax me for a new pickup or a pickup when I put a new engine in it and to keep driving it. But when you redo your centrally assessed stuff like that, you get taxed more. I think one of the strong points of this facility, what they're doing, is they're using the animal fat now. Okay, so that means they're producing, they have a supply of the product that they will to make the end result. That will give time for Montana to get involved with the canola production, which we do produce it, but we don't produce in a volume that they're talking about. So the factory can still keep going with the animal fat, bringing in the canola. As that grows, then it will reduce the need for the animal fat. And the whole efficiency comes down to what's a cheaper product to make the end product. But Montana farmers can raise anything, but we need to get paid and have a place to deliver it. And this could be a large growth factor. Canola, you know, will not be raised in a Billings area. It will be raised on the High Line in the northern tier just because of the way the crop has to be. But I think it's a worthy thing to try, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you.
Question.
Question's been called. Let's try a voice vote. All in favor say aye.
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 Opposed, no. Senator Lynch is recorded as a no. Proxies.
Faulkner votes aye by proxy.
Flowers and Boldman vote aye by proxy.
Motion carries 18-1. The bill moves back on third reading. Let's see what else we got here. We could try Senator Hertz's bill.
Which one?
That we just heard on gross receipts contractors. It kind of eliminates some duplicative payments and refunds.
Mr. Chairman, I move to pass on Senate Bill 253 by Senator Hertz, an act revising the contract to gross receipts tax. Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Vice Chair Glimm. Any discussion on the bill? Seeing none, let's try a voice vote on Senate Bill 253. All those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed, no.
Senator Wagner votes aye by proxy.
Senator Boldman and Flowers vote aye by proxy.
Senate Bill 253 has been agreed to in finance.
That really hurts.
I think we're getting close to getting the amendments passed out. We have one more bill that we just heard, 507 of Senator Zolnikoff. Any objection to dealing with that right now? I said any objection? Sorry. My voice is not strong this morning, and I'm a ways from the microphone. Sorry. Senate Bill 507, can we do that right now, or do you want to wait?
Mr. Chair.
Lang. Senator Lang.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I think Senator Hertz has showed much fortitude in that he will deal with the county treasurers. I think it's go ahead and run this bill and let them work on some amendments if they need to.
Let's move the bill in.
Mr. Chairman, I move Senate Bill 507 due pass by Senator Zolnikoff, carried by Senator Hertz, because we didn't hear enough from Senator Hertz this morning, generally revised tax laws.
Very good. Any discussion on the bill? Any discussion?
Question.
Question's been called. Should we try a voice vote? All those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed, no.
Senator Wagner votes aye by proxy.
Senators Flowers and Boldman vote aye by proxy.
Motion carries 19-0. So now everybody should have a pile of amendments to some of the Senate bills we're still holding. We'll take a recess until 10:05 and be back to deal with some of the bills we have.
Mr. Chairman, what was the first bill we did today that we passed? I think we passed. Did we do exec on three bills?
We did exec on every bill we heard today except
506.
Except for
253.
Except 553 and 547.
547, okay.
We passed 506, 510, 253, and 507.
So we have the two other bills we heard today, Senator O'Brien's and another Senator Hertz bill. And then we have the ones that are still in our packet.
Do you have an extra one of those?
I guess.
Senator Lang's bill, 442. We still have my bill in the packet, but there's no amendments for it yet. And Senator Molnar's asked us to look at his bill on highway signs and rewards, so we may have a motion on that. We have Senator Molnar's bill on crossbows.
Number
of the...
table.
Senate Bill 160 is Molnar's bill. It's on the table. We have House Bill 81. I don't know if that amendment's ready or not. It's not ready yet. It's a House bill anyway. It's a House bill. We'll be fine. So we have Senate Bill 145, Senator Rozier's bill on lodging tax. We have Senate Bill 298, Senator Molnar's bill on disabled people hunting, and we have Senator Lang's bill plus the two we heard today. We'll have to do mine tomorrow to get the amendments ready. So let's recess till 5 after 10. Senate Finance and Claims will come back to order. I think you have a unedited draft amendment for Senate Bill 160 of Senator Molnar's that's on the table in this committee. He has agreed to make these changes in the House. And so if the bill, if we agree to bring it off the table, this amendment will not go on, but I will have an amendment that makes the reward taxable, so it'll turn it into a revenue bill. So, Vice Chair Glimm.
Mr. Chairman, I move to remove Senate Bill 160 from the table.
Thank you. Any discussion on the motion? I guess I would be willing to let Senator Molnar move forward and try to get this done in the House, but that's my position on the bill. Any other discussion?
Question.
Question's been called. Let's try a roll call vote.
Vice Chair Glimm.
Yes.
Senator Ellis.
Yes.
Senator Solomon.
Yes.
Senator McGilvery.
No.
Senator Boldman.
Yes, by proxy.
No, no proxies allowed.
Oh, yeah, that's okay.
Senator Bartel.
Yes.
Senator Mandeville.
Yes.
Senator Morgeau.
Absent.
Senator Lenz.
Nay.
Senator Lang.
Yes.
Senator Lynch.
Absent.
Senator Bogner.
No.
Senator Cuff.
Yes.
Senator Flowers.
Absent.
Senator Fuller.
Soft yes.
Senator Vance.
It shows up.
Yes.
Senator Pope.
Yes.
Senator Wellborn.
Yes.
Chairman Esp.
Yes.
I have 12 votes yes, 3 votes no.
Vice Chair Glimm, would you move the bill?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move Senate Bill 160 do pass. This was by Senator Molnar, generally revised drug and human trafficking laws. Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. Vice Chair Glimm, would you also move this amendment?
Mr. Chairman, I move Senate Bill 160 be amended with SB 0160.002.003, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Vice Chair Glimm. Originally, as the bill sits right now, the rewards were not taxable in Montana. This amendment simply makes them taxable. It makes it a revenue bill. Any questions, comments on the amendment? Should we try a voice vote? All in favor say aye.
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 Opposed, no. Proxies.
Mr. Chairman, Senators Boldman, Flowers, Morgeau, and Lynch all vote aye by proxy.
Motion carries unanimously. Vice Chair Glimm.
Mr. Chairman, I move Senate Bill 160 as once amended.
You heard the motion. You probably understand the bill by now. Any discussion? Let's try a roll call vote.
Vice Chair Glimm?
Yes.
Vice Chair Ellis?
Yes.
Senator Solomon?
Yes.
Senator McGilvery? Senator Boldman?
Aye by proxy.
Senator Bartel?
Yes.
Senator Mandeville?
No.
Senator Morgeau.
Aye by proxy.
Senator Lenz.
Nay.
Senator Lang.
Yes.
Senator Lynch.
Aye by proxy.
Senator Bogner.
No.
Senator Cuff.
Yes.
Senator Flowers.
Aye by proxy.
Senator Fuller.
Yes.
Senator Vance.
Yes.
Senator Pope.
Yes.
Senator Wellborn. Senator Esp?
Yes.
15 votes yes, 4 votes no.
Motion carries. Senate Bill 160 will go back to second reading. Members of the committee, let's move Senate Bill, is it 296? 298.
Mr. Chairman, I move Senate Bill 298 due pass by Senator Molnar, revised laws related to hunting by disabled persons.
You all heard the bill on the floor and we heard it in committee. Any comments, questions? Seeing none, shall we try a roll call vote?
Yes.
Vice Chair Glimm?
Yes.
Vice Chair Ellis?
No.
Senator Solomon?
Yes.
Senator McGilvery?
Yes.
Senator Boldman?
No, by proxy.
Senator Bartell?
No.
Senator Mandeville?
Yes.
Senator Morgeau?
No, by proxy.
Senator Lenz?
Nay.
Senator Lang?
No.
Senator Lynch?
No, by proxy.
Senator Bogner?
Yes.
Senator Cuff?
Yes.
Senator Flowers?
No, by proxy.
Senator Fuller?
Yes.
Senator Vance?
No.
Senator Pope?
No.
Senator Wellborn?
Yes.
Chairman Esp?
Yes.
9 votes yes, 10 votes no.
9 votes yes, 10 no. Motion fails.
Mr. Chairman, I move to reverse the vote and table.
Without objection, Senate Bill 298 is on the table. So let's, Senator Mandeville, do you have a motion?
Mr. Chair, I move that Senate Bill 474 be removed from the table.
Could you tell us what that bill does, or do you want me to?
Yes, Mr. Chair, this is a simple cleanup bill that adds a definition for fantasy sports and makes it clear it does not add any gambling activities to the state.
So the motion is to reconsider. It's a present and voting motion. Any further discussion? Roll call vote. Sigh.
Mr. Chair, is this a remove from the table vote?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yes.
Vice Chair Glimm?
Yes.
Vice Chair Ellis?
No.
Senator Solomon?
No.
Senator McGilvery?
No.
Senator Bartell?
Yes.
Senator Mandeville?
Yes.
Senator Lenz?
Nay.
Senator Lang?
No.
Senator Cuff?
No.
Senator Fuller?
Yes.
Senator Vance?
No.
Senator Pope?
Yes.
Senator Wellborn?
Yes.
Chairman Esp?
No.
Senator Bogner?
Yes.
I have 7 votes no, and that should be 8 votes yes.
Is it the other way?
It's
the other way.
Was it 8 votes no?
The other way around,
okay.
I'll take it.
You might take it, but I don't think that's the right answer.
It might be right. It's just loading into my system, so I just had to keep a tally.
Well, I had it the other way around. But.
It's probably the other way around then.
Did you use a Dominion voting machine, Mr. Chair?
I wrote it down and I didn't.
There's 15 votes total.
Yeah, it was 8-7. It was
I do have it pulled up if we want to
seven,
do the
eight.
Vote again.
Yeah. So, shall we move on here?
So it remains tabled.
Yes. So, Senator Lang, do you want to do your amendment? I know you have a pretty chart and everything here.
What do you think?
He says you have a pretty chart.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Yes, I'd like to amend Senate Bill 442. What this does is you can see the handout, read through the amendments, the 5 things the bill does. We're keeping Representative Flynn's recommendation on grant applications for WIP. We'll expand that program. That's for noxious weeds.
Senator Lang, do you want to move your bill or do you want Vice Chair Glim to?
Okay. Mr. Chairman, I will move amendment.
Move the bill first, sir.
I'll move the bill, Senate Bill 442.
Do pass.
Then move your amendment.
Now, the amendment for 442 is SB 0442.001.006, Mr. Chairman. Do pass.
Thank you. Now, would you like to discuss your amendment?
I'm not nervous. The five things the bill do, you can read in that handout I gave you, and we're Kelly Flynn's, we passed a couple million dollars for that back in the past sessions to do weed control on habitat in Montana. The thing that I see is conservation districts, grazing association, irrigation districts, wildlife and landowner groups, county weed boards, state and tribal federal agencies can apply for this money. There'll be a board set up where it's my bill in there with taking the 20% from the marijuana bill and moving it to county roads. And then if you look at the chart that I handed out, you'll see in the, where it's colored there in the orange, the habitat account will get 20%, which that brings that back in from the marijuana bill, but that'll go over to a habitat legacy account. We're creating a new trust. 75% of that money will flow up to the Habitat Montana, which Habitat Montana Fund is there already. When that gets to $50 million, then all the money will flow down to those two pink, the Habitat Montana Project and the Legacy Wildlife Projects. And that'll give us the opportunity to do things on the ground. It's not purchasing land. It's not doing easements. It's doing work on the ground, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. Senator Wellborn.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm going to encourage the committee to vote for this amendment. I liked the bill before. I think this turns it into a really, really good proposal. States around us are doing it. Other Western states have similar programs that are working really well, and I think this is this committee's opportunity to be on the right side of history. I think this can be a really good deal going forward. Thank you.
Thank you. Further discussion on the amendment, which is the bill at this point, basically.
Further question.
Question's been called. Shall we do a voice vote? Let's try a voice vote. All in favor of the amendment, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed, no. Thank you.
Mr. Chairman, I have proxies for Senators Lynch, Morgeau, Flowers, and Boltman, and they vote aye by proxy.
Senator Bogner votes aye by proxy.
So the motion carries unanimously. Now we're back on, well, we need to move the bills.
Mr. Chairman, I move Senate Bill 442 as amended once.
Any discussion on the bill?
Question.
Question.
Question's been called. Let's try a voice vote. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no.
Senator Bogner votes aye by proxy.
And Mr. Chairman, Senators Boltman, Flowers, Morgeau, and Lynch vote aye by proxy.
Motion carries unanimously. Senate Bill 442 goes to second reading. Now let's take out Senate Bill 145.
Mr. Chairman, I move Senate Bill 145 do pass. This was by Senator Regeer, provide for local distribution of lodging tax revenue, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Vice Chair Glim. I have an amendment.
And Mr. Chairman, just so you know, Senator Flowers asked me to carry his amendment on this bill, too.
All righty, I got to find the number of my first amendment. 15-10-420.
I think there's only one flower.
One's flower.
05.
Oh, okay.
No, that's the
wrong one.
What?
Yeah, it'd be 03.
Mr. Chairman, I move Senate Bill 145 be amended with SB 0145.002.003, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Vice Chair Glidden. All that amendment does is take the distribution through 1510-420 out and make it into something that the Department of Revenue will do in a much easier way when they send the money out to counties. Senator Pope.
Yeah, Mr. Chair, just wondering, are these, we have three different amendments, are they in conflict or are they, no?
Okay. Well, I don't know about Senator Flowers, I haven't looked at it, but
okay.
This one is, this just corrects the problem that I saw and others saw in how the funds are okay. distributed.
Thank you.
Senator Bartel.
Mr. Chair, would this be just to flow through entitlement then?
I think the Department of Revenue will just distribute it to the counties in the way that was intended because they'll have the numbers on Class 4 property, which is what this touches, I think.
Okay, thanks.
Further discussion on the amendment? Seeing
question.
None. Should we try a voice vote?
Yes.
All in favor say aye.
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 Opposed, no.
Senator Bogner votes aye by proxy.
Mr. Chairman, Senators Lynch, Morgeau, Flowers, and Boldman vote aye by proxy.
Thank you. So, Vice Chair Glim.
Mr. Chairman, I move Senate Bill 145 do, as amended once do pass.
And then, Vice Chair Glim, I have one other amendment. Let's try to get it on, and then we'll speak to Senator Flowers' amendment.
Mr. Chairman, I move Senate Bill 145 be amended with SB 0145.002.002, Mr. Chairman.
So this just takes out the, if you look at the fiscal note, there's about $60,000 a year out of the general fund in one section, and this takes that out of the bill. And so what's left in the bill is, if you look at the fiscal note, the $25,000 roughly a year that out of commerce. $25 million, yeah. So that, yeah, that's what it does. So it leaves the general fund intact. It there will be some small amount of general fund also in the $25 million, but not to the extent that is in this amendment. Senator Mandeville.
Mr. Chair, it also looks like this amendment takes the funding to cities out.
It's because the cities were getting a distribution from the general fund. Mm-hmm. And if we no longer distribute it through the general fund, I have another amendment if you want to consider it, but you got to take them in order. Any further discussion? We probably better try a roll call vote on this. Senator Pope.
Sorry, Mr. Chair, would this be a friendly amendment? Or
I would be surprised if it was entirely friendly.
Okay, thank you.
Mm-hmm. Sign.
All right, Vice Chair Glim.
No.
Vice Chair Ellis.
No.
Senator Solomon.
No.
Senator McGilvery.
No.
Senator Boldman.
No by proxy.
Senator Bartel.
Yes.
Senator Mandeville.
No.
Senator Morgeau.
No by proxy.
Senator Lenz.
Nay.
Senator Lang.
Yes.
Senator Lynch.
No by proxy.
Senator Bogner.
Yes by proxy.
Senator Cuff.
Yes.
Yes. Senator Flowers.
No by proxy.
Senator Fuller.
Yes.
Senator Vance.
No.
Senator Pope.
No.
Senator Wellborn.
Hila.
Yes, by proxy.
Chairman Esp.
Yes.
7 votes yes, 12 votes no.
Motion fails. We're back on the bill as amended once. Vice Chair Ellis.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move amendment, let me figure it out, amendment 002.005. And what this amendment does is adds unincorporated resort tax districts as an entity that can receive a distribution through Senate Bill 147. These entities do pay resort tax.
Thank you, Vice Chair Ellis. Any questions or clarifications on what the amendment does? From Senator Flowers. Senator Bartel.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Question to anybody. So the resort area district is typically a incorporated city already, so would they collect double on this distribution? Unincorporated areas?
Unincorporated resort.
Did everybody hear that, Senator Mandeville?
I can say it loud. It's resort area districts are unincorporated, so it'd be like Big Sky, for example, which is not incorporated. I believe that's correct, but I was getting the nod from the vice chair. So,
I think that's all that it would apply to. So, with this amendment, the residences in Big Sky would be getting. The county would be getting distribution based on the residences in Big Sky or city.
Mr. Chair, a question for the sponsor of the amendment. So, Senator Ellis, does this distribute this money in an even broader scale?
It's Mr. Chairman and Senator, I believe this does do that in that it's adding. I know I just got this amendment this morning and was asked to carry it, so I'm not an expert on it, but it's the only place I do know about is Big Sky, who does pay resort tax, and this just lets them get a cut when it's redistributed.
Further discussions, Senator Vance.
I wish we had somebody here that could answer some questions.
We have staff here.
So my understanding is the original was for Class 4 property, and I'm just wondering about. I know there's a few residential areas that it's, I don't know how to really ask my question. It expands up to resort area. So county, in the original county, county government would be distributing. Is the intent of this to double for so the people that are in the resort area would be getting property assessment and then again with the county? I mean, because they're in the county, but is it twice? So I don't know.
Mr. Chairman, my understanding would be it would not double dip, but it would be potentially in a category all unto itself, because it adds it, you get city or town, county, or resort area district. And so that it would be in a category of its own.
Any further questions, discussion, Senator McGilvray?
Mr. Chair, I'm going to not support the amendment, and here's why. This bill is spreading out $60 million or whatever it was, $65 million across cities and properties, and it's already very de minimis in terms of what any individual property might get. This just makes that worse. So I think it's just continuing to spread a small pot of money even further and makes it even more de minimis. So I'm not going to support it.
Oh, and another one.
Question.
Question's been called. Let's do a roll call vote on the amendment.
Vice Chair Glenn?
Nope.
Vice Chair Ellis? Senator Solomon?
No.
Senator McGilvray?
No.
Senator Boldman?
Aye by proxy.
Senator Bartel?
No.
Senator Mandeville?
No.
Senator Morgeau?
Aye by proxy.
Senator Lenz?
Nay.
Senator Lang?
No.
Senator Lynch?
Aye by proxy.
Senator Bogner?
No by proxy.
Senator Cuff?
Yes.
Senator Flowers?
Aye by proxy.
Senator Fuller?
No.
Senator Vance?
No.
Senator Pope?
Yes.
Senator Wellborn?
Yes.
Chairman Asp?
No.
8 votes yes, 11 votes no.
Motion fails. Vice Chair Glenn, I have one more amendment that if you would like to move.
Mr. Chairman, I move Senate Bill 145 be amended with SB 0145.002.004, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Vice Chair Glenn. Members of the committee, if you turn to page 14 of the, this is a condensed amendment, but turn to the page 14. What this amendment does, and it instead of taking 75%, it takes 25% and leaves 50% of the distributions in the general fund. And this is probably a semi-friendly amendment. Chairman Rozier and I talked about this concept yesterday morning early. Any discussion? Everybody understand what it does? Should we try a roll call vote?
Yeah, roll call.
Roll call vote.
Vice Chair Glenn?
Yes.
Senator Ellis?
No.
Senator Solomon?
Yes.
Senator McGilvray?
Yes.
Senator Boldman?
No by proxy.
Senator Bartel?
Yes.
Senator Mandeville?
No.
Senator Morgeau?
No by proxy.
Senator Lenz?
Aye.
Senator Lang?
Yes.
Senator Lynch?
No by proxy.
Senator Bogner?
Yes by proxy.
Senator Cuff?
Yes.
Senator Flowers?
No by proxy.
Senator Fuller?
Yes.
Senator Vance?
Yes.
Senator Pope?
No.
Senator Wellborn?
Yes.
Chairman Esp?
Yes.
12 votes yes, 7 votes no.
Mr. Chairman, I move Senate Bill 145 as amended twice.
Mr. Chairman?
Senator Cuff?
Yeah, I was thinking through the discussions and that this seems to be a pretty good vehicle for raising revenues. And if we did not vote today on this, I'd like to just lay out a very brief conceptual motion that I could have in our next meeting. If we could triple this bed tax and send, I think, one-third of the additional to local law enforcement, one-third to teachers' payments, and leave the other third wherever it's at, Mr. Chairman. So,
thank you, Senator Cuff. I'm not inclined to do that at this time, but perhaps you could have an amendment for the floor.
May do that. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Further discussion on the bill as amended? Seeing none, we need a roll call vote. Roll call vote.
Vice Chair Glenn?
Yes.
Vice Chair Ellis?
No.
Senator Solomon?
No.
Senator McGilvray?
No.
Senator Boldman.
No by proxy.
Senator Bartel.
Yes.
Senator Mandeville.
Yes.
Senator Morgeau.
No by proxy.
Senator Lenz.
Nay.
Senator Lang.
No.
Senator Lynch.
No by proxy.
Senator Bogner.
Yes by proxy.
Senator Cuff.
No.
Senator Flowers.
Yes by proxy.
Senator Fuller.
Yes.
Senator Vance.
Yes.
Senator Pope.
Yes.
Senator Wellborn.
Yes.
Chairman Esp.
No.
9 votes yes, 10 votes no.
Mr. Chairman, I move to reverse vote and table.
Without objection, so ordered. Vice Chair Glim, what do we have left?
Mr. Chairman, I think I'll move Senate Bill 553. This was by, amazingly enough, Senator Hertz, to revise school funding laws related to school facilities. We heard that this morning. Mr. Chairman.
And I think it's all fresh in our mind what it does. It distributes more funds back to certain schools that have general obligation bonds. Any discussion? We need a roll call vote. Roll call vote.
Vice Chair Glim.
No.
Vice Chair Ellis.
No.
Senator Solomon.
No.
Senator McGilvery.
No.
Senator Boldman.
No by proxy.
Senator Bartel.
No.
Senator Mandeville.
Yes.
Senator Morgeau.
No by proxy.
Senator Lenz.
Nay.
Senator Lang.
No.
Senator Lynch.
No by proxy.
Senator Bogner.
No by proxy.
Senator Cuff.
No.
Senator Flowers.
No by proxy.
Senator Fuller.
No.
Senator Vance.
No.
Senator Pope.
No.
Senator Wellborn.
Yes.
Chairman Esp.
Yes.
3 votes yes, 16 votes no.
Mr. Chairman, Mr. Chairman, I move to reverse vote and table.
Without objection, so ordered.
Mr. Chairman, I move to remove from the table House Bill 81. This is by Representative Braxton Mitchell. Create a new state veteran cemetery. Mixing up all my words. Mr. Chairman.
You've heard the motion. Any discussion?
Yes, Mr. Chairman.
Vice Chair Ellis.
Thank you. Senator Lynch has an amendment that he's been waiting on the staff to get the amendment drafted, and it's not drafted yet, and we don't have to act on this bill. And I just, out of respect, would ask that we wait on this bill until our next meeting. He has requested, staff can attest to the fact that he has requested the amendment, and because it's a House bill, it's just been put on the back burner because they've been dealing with Senate bills. And so I'd ask that we delay our action.
Any further discussion on the motion to reconsider? Seeing none, roll call vote.
Vice Chair Glim.
Yes.
Vice Chair Ellis.
No.
Senator Solomon.
Yes.
Senator McGilvery.
Yes.
Senator Bartel.
Yes.
Senator Mandeville.
Yes.
Senator Lenz.
Aye.
Senator Lang.
No.
Senator Cuff.
Yes.
Senator Fuller.
Yes.
Senator Vance.
Yes.
Senator Pope.
No.
Senator Wellborn.
No.
Chairman Esp.
No.
Did I miss anyone?
I don't think so.
All right,
so.
14 votes yes, 5 votes. That count's going to be wrong. I need to do the no votes.
It's 9 yes.
Yeah, 9 yes, no. 5 no.
Mr. Chairman, I move House Bill 81. Do concur, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Senator Glim. Any discussion? Senator Lenz.
Yes, Mr. Chair. There are two things that disturb me about this. One is Senator Glenn being so wishy-washy on his votes, and two, bringing back from the dead a cemetery bill. But even so, I'll be supporting this, Mr. Chair.
Well, thank you for pointing that out, sir.
Any question?
I don't know if there is a question. No more discussion.
I would just say that, hey, I think we all know that had Senator Glenn been here when we originally voted on this, we would not be reconsidering now.
Senator Wellborn.
Thank you. I guess there's one more crack that hopefully an amendment can be drafted by the time it crosses the floor. I'm gonna remain a no, and only because I just want to make sure that the funding does come from the cigarette tax, and I think that's what that amendment was going to do. So hopefully the stars will be in order and the amendment will be done before the bill gets back to the floor.
Seeing no further discussion, roll call vote.
Vice Chair Glenn.
Yes.
Vice Chair Ellis.
No.
Senator Solomon.
Yes.
Senator McGilvery.
Yes.
Senator Boldman.
No by proxy.
Senator Bartel.
Yes.
Senator Mandeville.
Yes.
Senator Morgeau.
No by proxy.
Senator Lenz.
Yes.
Senator Lang.
No.
Senator Lynch.
No by proxy.
Senator Bogner.
Yes by proxy.
Senator Cuff.
Yes.
Senator Flowers.
No by proxy.
Senator Fuller.
Yes.
Senator Vance.
Yes.
Senator Pope.
No.
Senator Wellborn.
No.
Chairman Esp.
No.
10 votes yes, 9 votes no.
Motion carries. House Bill 81 will go somewhere. Third reading? Third reading.
Amend it.
All right, that takes care of that. We have one more.
Mr. Chairman, I move Senate Bill 547 do pass. This was by Senator O'Brien this morning, revised capital gains tax law to fund teacher salary increases, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. Any discussion on the bill? Seeing none. Seeing none, Senate 547, let's try a roll call vote.
Vice Chair Glenn.
No.
Vice Chair Ellis. Senator Solomon.
No.
Senator McGilvery.
No.
Senator Boldman.
Yes, by proxy.
Senator Bartel.
No.
Senator Mandeville.
No.
Senator Morgeau.
Yes, by proxy.
Senator Lenz.
Nay.
Senator Lang.
No.
Senator Lynch.
No.
Senator Bogner.
No by proxy.
Senator Cuff.
No.
Senator Flowers.
No by proxy. No, yes by proxy. Sorry.
Senator Fuller.
No.
Senator Vance.
No.
Senator Pope.
Yes.
Senator Wellborn.
No.
Chairman Esp.
No.
5 votes yes, 14 votes no.
Mr. Chairman, I move to reverse the vote table.
Without objection, so ordered. Members of the committee, that pretty much cleans up our Senate bill except for mine, which doesn't have amendments ready. I think we'll have one Senate bill tomorrow morning. We may have some training if that's all we have. If we wind up getting a bunch of re-referred before second reading today, we may just have a day of hearings. But we'll come in at 8 just in case we need the time. And if we have extra time, we'll have staff come in about 11 and talk about House Bill 2. Seeing no further business, meeting adjourned.